Hello, this is Todd Durakant with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 28th, 2026, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page, Wellness Decatur, Peace on the Path, Mindful Miles Walking Challenge to Boost Mental and Physical Health. This article's by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Liz Vaughn spends her lunch hour walking the Decatur Memorial Hospital walking path, often with geese and other walkers. As a certified nursing assistant at the SIU Medicine campus on at DMH, Vaughn, 42, said she finds peace during her noontime treks. "There's fresh air and peace. Mother Nature is beautiful," she said. "It feels good to be out walking, getting away from work." The DMH trail often has employees walking the quarter-mile lap, but anyone from the community is welcome to join them. And next month, Vaughn and her DMH coworkers may have a few others joining her. Memorial Health has extended a special invitation to the community during the Mindful Miles Walking Challenge, which runs from May 1st through 31st. Participants are encouraged to register on the free walking app Pacer. Those who walk 50 or more miles during May will receive a free Mindful Miles t-shirt. Each Memorial Health Hospital, including Taylorville, Jacksonville, Springfield, and Lincoln, will be offering the walking challenges with individual kickoff parties scheduled for Thursday, April 30th. Decatur's kickoff will be from 5 to 7 p.m. at the DMH Walking Trail. Information from Cancer Care and Kidney Disease Healthcare will be available, as well as free giveaways. The Mindful Miles event is important for the mind as well as the body, according to the healthcare professionals. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. We know that if we get out and are active, that does release those feel-good hormones, said Sonia Chargua, community health consultant with Memorial Health. It makes you better mentally. Communing with nature has positive mental health effects, Chargua said. May's ideal weather conditions may help. It is nice and warm outside, she added. It's a beautiful time to watch the earth come alive again. For most of the people walking the DMH trail, a boost in their mental health is just as important as their physical health. It's good for your health and your mind, Vaughn said. According to registered nurse Sharon Anderson, running and other forms of exercise has its drawbacks. You can get back to work without feeling like a sweaty mess, she said during her walk around DMH. Walking plays a part in overall health, according to the professionals. You're working on your heart health, but you're also lowering your own cancer risks by a small percentage, Chargua said. Walking is an easy form of movement. You don't even have to pay to do it. Healthcare providers encourage others to take the challenge and log their miles in May, no matter where they choose to walk. Walking is one of the most underrated forms of exercise and one of the most powerful things you can do for your physical and mental health, said Angela Stolzenberg, Memorial Health Director of Community Health. All you need is a pair of comfortable shoes and a little time. Vaughn doesn't stop after she has tackled the DMH walking trail. When I get off work, I walk around the lake. And that's 6 miles, she said. I love to be outside. And a large color photo dominates the top of the article. SIU Medicine registered nurse Shannon Anderson walks around the DMH Decatur Memorial Hospital campus for exercise during her lunch break on Thursday, April 16th. The DMH Walking Trail will host a kickoff event for the Mindful Miles Walking Challenge on Thursday, April 30th, and it was a bright and sunny day, as shown by the background, and there is another person walking away from Anderson toward the left of the photo, And that's about it. Joseph Russler Photos, Herald and Review. Walking trails in Decatur is the sidebar. According to healthcare and fitness professionals, the benefits of walking can be found anywhere. However, Macon County has several trails designed for walkers and runners. Below are a few of the popular walking trails. Rock Springs Conservation Area, 3939, Nearing Lane, Decatur. Sand Creek Conservation Area, 4314 South Franklin Street Road, Decatur. Fairview Park, 2095 West El Dorado Street, Decatur. Lincoln Trail Homestead, Lincoln Trail Memorial Parkway, Decatur. Fort Daniel Conservation Area, 4975 Fort Daniel Road, Decatur. Spittler Woods State Natural Area, 705 Spittler Park Drive, Mount Zion. Environment. Illinois drought concerns continue despite spring rains, critical rivers below normal levels, gaps in water policy eyed. Nicole Heitrek, Capital News, Illinois, has this article. Drought and hot temperatures have burdened Illinois since last summer. And despite rain improving conditions this spring, the long-term lack of precipitation and high temperatures have affected water supplies across the state. Sullivan, a small city southwest of Decatur, declared a water emergency in February that's expected to last until June. Bloomington recently ended its severe drought proclamation and eased restrictions on water use, but residents are encouraged to continue being judicious. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources has delayed opening Heidek Lake near Morris to boating because of low water levels. As local governments confront water challenges, regional droughts have called attention to lax or non-existent water management policies in Illinois. State lawmakers have caught on too, especially as they consider how to regulate data centers, a new type of high-end water user that's been spreading across the state. Trent Ford, the Illinois state climatologist, said water monitoring and management can be tricky. It is definitely a really, really complex thing with water systems in Illinois, Ford said. You know, there's always this overarching kind of perception of water abundance, in some cases, overabundance. But that's definitely not the case. That's only a perception. It's a mirage of abundance. He said rain in 2026 has improved topsoil moisture, but months of drought mean the dryness has affected deeper layers of soil and water. Critical rivers like the Sangamon, Mackinac, Kankakee, Iroquois, and Mason are still way below where they normally are this time of year, he said, though he expects those levels to improve. Lawmakers in Springfield, meanwhile, are only in the early phases of considering statewide water use plans, mostly discussing the problem in non-voting subject matter hearings. The onset of data center development, however, has at least brought the conversations to the forefront. There are several agencies that touch on this, and then you've got local control that does things, State Senator Rachel Ventura, Democrat Joliet, said. You've got the multi-state and multi-county water compact of the Great Lakes. So this is not just something that you can easily introduce and then be done. The goal, of course, is to make sure that our state is safeguarding water so people can have quality of life. Water monitoring. Illinoisans rely on lakes, rivers, shallow groundwater, and deep groundwater. But measuring water supply can be difficult because it depends on the region of the state and the structure of the ground beneath the surface. Underneath our feet gets really complicated really fast, said Daniel Abrams, a principal research scientist at the Illinois Water Survey. Being able to understand that is critical, and we're looking at all kinds of ways to image and improve that. The Water Survey is not a government agency, but works with Illinois Department of Natural Resources to conduct research and monitor water supply by using wells that measure groundwater levels and data mapping tools that visualize Illinois' hydrology. The Water Survey also advises municipalities and counties about managing water. The water survey does important research, but the lack of state regulatory authority over water makes its task difficult. Abrams said water supply modeling is a crucial tool for water management, but it's not perfect, and he and his team are always looking for more data, particularly about water use. One of the data sources that right now we have is annual demand, he said. But the more we start thinking about drought, the more we start thinking about those peak demand conditions. Shallow aquifers and surface water sources are more susceptible to drought in the short term, but they rebound quickly after rain, Abrams said. The opposite is true of deep aquifers like the Muhammad Aquifer in central Illinois or the deep sandstone aquifer system in northern Illinois. That means drought and overuse have different effects depending on the location. More frequent reporting from municipalities, irrigators, and industries would give the water survey a better idea of how seasonal demand works and the condition of aquifer levels, he said. Getting information on a quarterly basis or a monthly basis would make our models more accurate and could help us better understand things like impacts of drought to our water supply, said Jenna Shelton, director of the Illinois Water Survey. The Illinois Water Inventory Program collects reports about withdrawals, but it doesn't have a full picture of the demand because of missing data. Since 2010, the Water Use Act of 1983 requires annual water usage reports for, quote, all high-capacity wells or intake pumping 70 gallons per minute or more, which is 100,000 gallons per day, unquote. Systems of wells and intakes that have a combined pumping rate of 70 gallons per minute or greater also fall under the requirement. Those high-capacity entities include public water supplies like municipalities, industrial commercial facilities, wildlife and recreation operations, and agricultural irrigators. Multiple sources told Capital News Illinois that enforcement of reporting requirements across the state is lax. We are not a government agency, you know. We cannot really enforce the industry's farmers to report water use to use every year to us, said Jason Zhang, a principal research scientist at the Water Survey, who leads state and regional water supply planning. We don't get 100% compliance. Water use reporting is key to understanding what the state will need in the future and how to plan for it, he said. Without that information, resource planning is more difficult. Management and planning. Nora Beck, an employee at the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, or CMAP, said the state needs to update its rules about who's in charge of water resources so the state can better manage them. Everything legislative has been sort of piecemeal over time, she said. CMAP does not or does water supply planning for Northeast Illinois, where many people or many supply issues exist because people outside of Chicago rely on hard-to-replenish aquifers where water levels have dropped dramatically. A 2018 report from the Water Survey, for example, projected Joliet would be unable to meet water demands by 2030 if it continued using the aquifer. So the city is in the process of moving to Lake Michigan as a source. Illinois has a limit for how much water is allowed to draw from the lake because of the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin Water Resources Compact, an agreement between 8 states and 2 Canadian provinces concerning water quality and withdrawals from the Great Lakes. That doesn't exist for groundwater, or that limit, rather, doesn't exist for groundwater, Beck said. Beck said approximately 80% of the people CMAP serves rely on Lake Michigan for water, but the rest rely on groundwater sources. We have a water budget, basically, for the Lake Michigan properties, she said. The remaining 20% are mostly on groundwater sources where there's not a clear budget. Any user can pump as much as they want. Ventura, the state senator from Joliet, has been involved in water policy since she worked as a naturalist for the Georgia State Parks and Historic Sites. She said looking at each water region in Illinois separately and streamlining oversight authority would be smart approaches to management. Ventura also suggested the state should mimic the Great Lakes Water Compact to create water use agreements across Illinois. Having that regional study is still really important, Ventura said, and then looking at things like refilling aquifers or having a long-term plan for access to water, I think is important for everyone in our state. There's no single agency that manages water use in Illinois either, she said, the IDNR, IEPA, and the Illinois Department of Agriculture all manage water to different degrees with different focuses. Of the three agencies, the IDNR shoulders the most responsibility for water supply and works with groups like CMAP and the State Water Plan Task Force and the Water Survey to do regional planning and monitoring. But at a February hearing on groundwater, a representative from the IDNR said the agency faces serious staffing shortages that limit its ability to monitor usage and enforce reporting. Since 2024, CMAP has worked with IDNR, Illinois-Indiana Sea Grant, and Northwest Water Planning Alliance to develop a water sustainability plan for five counties in northeastern Illinois. Beck said a statewide version of that could be helpful. Beck has also discussed government strategies with Freshwater Society, a Minnesota initiative, to better manage drinking water. Minnesota is currently developing updated rules for groundwater governance. I don't think we need to copy directly from another state, Beck said. But I think it's important to note that these other states are recognizing that they need to upgrade their groundwater governance and they're improving in its ways. Other solutions. Ventura has introduced or co-sponsored legislation to give the Illinois Department of Agriculture more authority over some withdrawals, and a bill to put more restrictions on private companies buying water from municipalities, but those measures have stalled. She also has a data center regulation bill that would require the facilities to file water use reports and monitor discharge water for pollutants, a provision that could become a part of a broader data center regulatory bill. The Power Act, a widely debated data center regulatory bill, has several water-related provisions, including requirements for usage, efficiency, and water quality monitoring. We are looking at, you know, hundreds, thousands, millions of people who need access to water and what that looks like for the future as we move into things like data centers and other climate concerns, Ventura said. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Trump administration White House to discuss major event security. This article is by Andrew Goodsword, Reuters, Washington. White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles will hold a meeting this week on presidential security after a shooting near a gathering of journalists and administration officials in Washington, a senior White House official told Reuters on Monday. The official said President Trump and the White House stand by the leadership of the U.S. Secret Service after the shooting outside the hotel ballroom where the White House Correspondents Association dinner was being held. Wiles is expected to meet early this week with leaders of the Secret Service and the Homeland Security Department to discuss protocol and practices for major events involving Trump, the senior official said. The meeting will examine Saturday's security response and also look at everything possible to keep the future events safe, the official added. Cole Thomas Allen, 31, of Torrance, California, was scheduled to make his first appearance in Washington federal court later Monday. He's accused of shooting a U.S. Secret Service agent as he tried to breach security at the event. Charges were not yet formally filed early Monday, but U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, the top federal prosecutor in Washington, said Allen would be charged with assault on a federal officer and using a firearm during a crime of violence. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said other charges, including attempted assassination, were possible, but that the investigation remains ongoing. Allen left a manifesto with family members, referring to himself as the friendly federal assassin and discussing plans to target senior Trump administration officials who were present in the hotel ballroom. Blanche said his targets likely included Trump himself. Allen booked a room at the Washington Hilton Hotel, where the dinner took place, and traveled from California to Washington by train, officials said. The shooting Saturday rattled the press dinner, a prominent event on Washington's social calendar, sending attendees scrambling under tables and prompting law enforcement to whisk senior officials out of the room. Trump, who was scheduled to deliver remarks later in the evening, was rushed off the stage by security personnel after shots were fired. Allen has not yet responded to the allegations. It was not immediately clear if he had a lawyer. The suspect allegedly fired a shotgun at a Secret Service agent at a checkpoint inside the hotel before being tackled and arrested, according to authorities. Video footage Trump posted online showed the suspect sprinting through a hallway outside the ballroom. U.S. officials said the suspect was subdued just inside a security perimeter and touted his takedown as a law enforcement success. But the incident has revived concerns about the safety of Trump, who dodged two assassination attempts during his 2024 presidential campaign, and other U.S. officials. The Secret Service agent was struck, but a tactical vest stopped the shot, and the agent was released from a hospital hours later. Allen, who authorities said was armed with a handgun and knives in addition to the shotgun, was also taken to a local hospital to be evaluated after the shooting. Onto the local page here. From the State House, Bears stadium deal raises questions after House vote. This article's by Rich Miller. Rich Miller publishes Capital Facts, a daily political newsletter, and CapitalFacts.com. We're almost there on a Bears stadium bill, Representative Cam Buckner, Democrat Chicago, told some sports radio hosts on a Friday morning before the House returned to Springfield for 3 days of session last week. We're very close. Asked if the rumor spread by sports business pundit Mark Gannis earlier that week was true about House Speaker Chris Welch holding up the Bears' bill, Buckner, the House's point person on the state megaprojects bill that includes the Arlington Heights Bears Stadium complex, flatly denied it. I want to be very unequivocal and clear about this. Nothing can be further from the truth, Buckner said on WCSR radio. Speaker Welch, he said, has given me the green light as his representative in these conversations to bring this home. And we're doing that. Rep. Buckner accused Gannis, who is widely quoted in sports media on NFL stadium plans, of a willful mischaracterization. It's a bad faith interpretation of the facts. It's not analysis. It's fabrication with confidence. It's convenient fiction dressed up as expertise. It's not helpful, and it's not truth. Ouch. A few days later, Representative Buckner told the Chicago Sun-Times he was working on a property tax relief mechanism within the megaprojects bill, but wasn't sure what form it would take. Governor J.B. Pritzker's top staff seemed taken by surprise. An agreement had been made not to alter the deal that had already been cut with the Bears. The object was to figure out a way to attract enough votes to get it to the Senate and reassure the Bears that things were on track. The next day, I was able to obtain an advance copy of Buckner's bill and posted it on my website, CapitalFacts.com. While Buckner had told reporters he'd been working lockstep with the governor's top staff, Pritzker's office released a terse statement saying the governor's office is currently reviewing the draft amendment provided by Capital Facts and does not have comment at this time. The new property tax component would take half of the money that the Bears or other mega project developers would pay in lieu of property taxes, give some to area local governments for property tax rebates, and then give the rest to the state's property tax relief fund. But that would mean the Bears' payment might have to be doubled because Arlington Heights area schools and other local governments would see their negotiated payment cut in half. A top source close to Arlington Heights schools said if the Bears had to pay $400 million instead of $200 million, that's a Bears problem, not theirs. And despite some comments made last week, it really wouldn't produce significant statewide property tax relief. 2 years ago, Illinoisans paid $40 billion in property taxes. A proposed state constitutional amendment to levy a 3% surcharge on annual personal income over $1 million would have thrown big bucks at schools and provided a significant amount for property tax relief. But moderate Democrats and some others refused to support it, and the proposal went nowhere. The Senate Democrats were also not made aware of the House's changes in advance, and they weren't happy about it. And then there was another problem. The House bill would impose a 9% entertainment tax on the area surrounding the future stadium. Everything from pickleball to pinball to zipline courses and music venues would be taxed. Governor Pritzker told reporters this Friday that the amusement tax was something the Bears were hoping not to see in a bill like this. From the very outset, the Bears would only say that essential changes needed to be made to the bill in the Senate. Whatever the case, Buckner was able to do what he set out to do, find enough votes to pass a bill through the House. Buckner's proposal, House Bill 910, received 78 votes, including 9 Republicans. Speaker Welch was downright jubilant during a resulting press conference, perhaps relishing his ability to prove doubters and others like Gannis wrong. It's a good night for people all over the state of Illinois. Because House Democrats deliver, Welch said. House Democrats did the work. They believed in the mantra, winners do the work. And I want to tell you, we did the work. But there's still a lot of work to do in the Senate. And then it has to come back to the House after changes are made. Well, we're kind of in less than a minute left here, so I will go ahead and sign off for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. This is Atta Durakan. We'll take a short break and return shortly with the second half hour.